And the best gift of all is Christ, because he's the greatest gift of all. This week, we do what we normally do. Today, we'll have the privilege to celebrate Christmas with our family. And it's always a special time when I get together with our kids and grandkids. We go so much, we don't have the time that we'd like to have. And I'm not saying that, woe is me, we don't regret any of that. I hope that my children don't regret the times that I've sacrificed ministry. I'm sick to death of this new generation of preachers that thinks you step in the ministry and everything just falls on you. There's not a price to pay. There's a price to pay. There is. There's a price to pay. And I've left Christmas dinner many a day with my family and said, I'll be back after. And they had to wait to open their gifts and other things. But I don't regret any of that. And kids, you won't regret it either if I go before you and you pass by my casket, I promise you. You won't regret it. But as usual, Candy, bless her heart, I throw it all on her. She has to go get a lot of the gifts and do the things. And I think she did all the wrapping except, did I do three things yesterday? Two things. Okay, two things. Happy wife, happy life. And I'm doing my duties of making up for a room that's filled with gifts. And so I'm wrapping these gifts and I'm thinking about the message. And I think, you know, all gifts are not the same. They're really not. There's really three basic kinds of gifts. There's what I call a gift for a gift. You're familiar with that. A lot of you work with people. And there's a lot of people that you work with. They don't like you and you really don't like them. But you have gift exchange. Don't act so religious. God knows your heart. And you may draw names and you get somebody's name, oh brother. But then comes the duty. What are they going to get me? And I got to get this gift. In some places they set limits on that. Other places don't set limits. If they don't set limits, isn't that a nightmare? Because then somebody's getting you a gift and you got to try to not only figure out something that you can get them equal to what they're getting you. So you're getting them a gift because they're getting you a gift. Stay with me. But also, how much are they going to spend on that gift? So you're trying to find a gift for a gift. So you just ramble the aisles and you bump into people and you get a whole lot of Christmas cheer as you're going through the department stores, or you're on the phone waiting on the shipment to come and how you order a shipment, it's supposed to come to your house. How's that happen today? How's it wind up at Walmart when you order something from Amazon? How's that happen? Or you got to go to Rite Aid to get your gift that's supposed to come to your house. How's that happen? Gift for a gift. So that frustrates it. But there's that gift of obligation. Can I word it that way? You feel like I need to do that out of obligation. Boy, it's quiet right now. You know why? Because most gifts are that way. Most gifts that will be given through the holiday season and through Christmas, it will be given because they feel like I have to. Stay with me. Then there's what I call gratification gifts. Gratification gifts are totally different. See, you're doing that out of gratification for a particular reason, to compensate or to maybe even repay in some way, like a gratuity. It's like when you go and get service at a restaurant and you leave an extra tip. I hope you tip. If you don't tip waiters and waitresses, do me a favor. Don't tell them you go to Rubyville. You ought to take good care of people that take care of you. But that's a gratuity. It's gratification. And there's those gifts that you get out of gratification. And for example, bonuses at work. You get a bonus at work. And what has happened now is that most people that get gratification gifts, they no longer expect that because now they expect it. They no longer appreciate it like they used to because they think that's just expected. You're supposed to do that anyway. So you're supposed to tempt me whether I give you good service or not. And I realize you have the right not to, but I make this choice. I go ahead and tip for the service, and I may not go back there again, but still, I that's just me. I still think people have families, they have to live, and I'd rather fall on the side of mercy. But what happens is people with gratification gifts, they adjust to that, and they get to expecting that, and therefore they don't appreciate it like they used to appreciate it. See, it used to be a bonus. That means your boss didn't have to do that. But now you expect it. So therefore you don't feel this great appreciation. That's what's happening. You know, that's the danger of our church. God gives us bonuses so much in this church. I'm not talking about money now. I'm talking about blessings. He gives us so many bonuses that we think we don't have to do anything for the Lord anymore. We'll just go in and sit down at the table and somebody else will bring the bonus and we'll just enjoy the overflow of all of it. But you do understand God doesn't have to be this good to us. There's some things he obligates himself to, and there's some things that he does out of a responsibility and promise to his word, but yet there's other things that he does just because he's a good God. Gratification gifts. But then there are grace gifts. Those are the gifts that you don't deserve. See, those gratification gifts, you feel like I deserve that anyway. The gift for a gift, of course I'm getting a gift because I'm giving a gift. But now grace gifts, you don't deserve it. Shouldn't even get it. But somebody blesses you anyway. Can I say, if you want to find the King, accept the gift of salvation today. And you don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. But through grace, he gave it anyway, and he offers it to us. And because of that grace, it's available to us today. And where you're getting off base is because you're trying to figure out some other way to go, some other way to do it. But I don't know how to make it any more simple than what I'm going to make it today. You cannot go to heaven until you repent of your sins. And you cannot go to heaven until you ask the Lord to save you. And you cannot go to heaven until you acknowledge that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And you cannot go to heaven until you come and say, Lord, I'm not worthy of this. But I know that Jesus, you have extended a gift to me, and because it is a gift, I freely accept that gift, and because of his grace, you can be saved today. Just expecting nothing in return, just because he loves us. Just because he loves us. That's why he does it. This gift that he gave tells us today, when we look at it, the Bible says, a virgin shall conceive, be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until that she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Luke tells us she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The gift. Don't judge a gift and the value of it because it's in a poor package. It's poorly wrapped. My grandkids today will know which gift Poppy wrapped. But I know what's inside. And today, in your life, just because he came as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, don't judge that the gift is not valuable. No greater gift. Also, don't judge the end by the beginning, because the babe didn't stay a babe. The babe became a boy, and the boy became a man. And the wisdom that he had and the power of God that was on him would help him to speak like no other man had ever spoken and do what no other man could ever do. It was the start of a life that would lead to miracles, and that suddenly people would receive all types of gifts. Talk about grace gift, being blind all of your life and suddenly getting to see, being lame all of your life, suddenly getting to walk, having sin in your life and hearing the words, "Your sins are forgiven, take up your bed and follow me." When you receive those gifts from God to pass through on a day of death and suddenly see your loved one come to life, what a gift from God! Grace gift. I had the privilege the other day of speaking to someone I had never spoken to before. The only problem was, they couldn't speak back. They're out of the area. I was swamped. I get an email through. I open it up. I glance at it. And it said two words: "Please help." I immediately, the carnal part of me, I didn't mean to, but I thought, here's somebody else that probably needs a food basket. I'll get them taken care of, but I'll do it later. But when I turned the phone off, the Spirit said, "Turn the phone back on." I opened the phone back up. I looked at the email and read the depth of the email. Basically, what they were saying is that my mother had gone to worship some when you were in services in our area years ago, and she now has brain cancer, and she can no longer speak, and she can no longer communicate. And I know that you can't come. Said, "But would you pray?" Well, I had a number there, and I thought it was a cell number, and I thought, well, maybe the quickest way, let me see if they can text. So I text the number through, and they said, "Who is this?" And I told them who I was. And they text back and said, "You can't see me, but I'm weeping right now. I can't believe you took the time to text." And I said, "Where's your mother at?" Said, "My mother is next door." I said, "Do you by chance FaceTime?" They said, "Yes, I FaceTime." I said, "Would you please forgive my appearance right now?" I said, "I'm not in a church and I'm not in a suit." I said, "But I'm unloading trucks. I just finished. But if you'll just, if you can just tell me when you're at your mother's, if you will, be ready. Can I FaceTime this?" And they said, "Yes." I FaceTime through. I see a precious little lady whose mind is almost gone. And FaceTime, I prayed the prayer of faith for her, for peace for her and her family. And after I hung up, I get a little text back. "Dear preacher, thank you for giving my mama the best Christmas gift she could have ever had." Now that may seem silly to us, and it may seem silly to you, but those few moments of time that you give to somebody that really you don't owe anybody anything, but just to say, because Jesus cares, I care. And because he cares, I want to show you that I care. I know we're all busy, but it's the grace of God that brought us to where we are. And without that grace, we'd all be miserable and without hope. Grace gifts. How many of you are saved today? That's the best gift of all. Best gift of all. How many of you receive grace gifts? What's grace gift? Well, have you ever been healed? How many have been healed? How many have been healed? What have you been healed of? Cancer. How many have been healed of cancer? Look at that, grace gift. Stand up. Give God glory. You've been healed of cancer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Grace gifts. Grace gifts. Well, glory. How many others you've received a grace? What have you been healed of other than cancer? Heart disease. Heart disease. Stand up. You've had heart disease. God healed you. Glory to God. Look at that. Glory to God. Rick McClure, you got a grace gift. You died on your way to the hospital. I know that he's watching live stream. He got a grace gift. I thank God for the doctors. But I thank God for the greatest doctor of all, Jesus. Glory to God.
ALS.
I don't think you heard that. Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, healed from ALS. Crohn's disease, healed. Crohn's disease, healed. What else? That's too hard for me to say. I'm in the spirit. Epilepsy. Epilepsy. What else? Pardon?
Broken heart.
Broken heart. Grace gifts. Can I ask you this? Was there ever a time that you didn't have enough money to be able to meet the things that you are facing and wondering how you are going to make it, and suddenly you may not even know where it came from? There were maybe bags of groceries or money in an envelope, or somebody hand you some money to get you through. Has that ever happened to you? Grace gifts. Has there ever been a time when the devil made you feel like you were underfoot and that he was going to win, but Jesus came just on time every time and defeated the enemy? Thank God for grace gifts. Grace gifts. Grace gifts. He didn't have to do it. He don't have to save you. He don't have to heal you. He don't have to keep you. He don't have to touch your broken heart. Boy, I like that. I like that. He don't have to do any of that. Who are we? But he did it.